Welcome to Ancient Future Faith with Dr. Chris Alford, pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento. Just what is ancient future Christian faith? Join Chris each week as he talks with special guests about a refreshing renewal in evangelical worship and spirituality that's helping many believers get in touch with their ancient Christian heritage. Now, with another look at how the road to the evangelical future runs through the ancient past, here's Dr. Chris Alford.
Well, hi there, folks, and welcome back to another edition of Ancient Future Faith. My name is Chris Alford, and I'm the host of the program, also the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community in Sacramento, California. Each week on this program, we try to bring you a special collection of guests to talk about this thing called Ancient Future Faith. And today on the phone with me, all the way from beautiful Portland, Oregon, and I know that it's beautiful because I've been there to see you, is the Reverend John Ahmet. Hi, John, and welcome.
Well, Chris, it's delightful to be back with you, and also to your listeners down in Sacramento, California. I love it down there.
Hey, by the way, Sheila and I were traveling one day over to the Bay Area, and we were listening to KFIA, the radio station that hosts this program. And we were listening to an episode of Ancient Future Faith. So not only are you getting the word out in Sacramento, John, but we're also broadcasting all over the Northern California region for a pretty big footprint. So it's delightful to have you on the program. Hey, what's the weather like in Portland today, by the way?
Well, it's absolutely beautiful with pouring down rain and gray skies.
Same here, actually. We had a heck of a storm earlier this morning. John, our paths crossed some years ago when you became a member of the Ancient Future Faith Network, and we became good buddies and correspond and talk often. Just for a few moments, would you tell folks what your life of ministry is like? Tell us just really anything you want to about you and your life of ministry so that people can get to know you just a little bit better, okay?
Sure, I'd be glad to, Chris. Well, I'm an ordained Baptist minister and an ordained Anglican priest. That's an interesting combination.
It is.
And I am planting a new church in the west suburbs of Portland, Oregon. And our focus is on millennials and especially people who are post-Christian, post-modern, non-church folks. And we're in a community called Forest Grove, Oregon. It's on the western extremities of the Portland area. And we've been ministering in this city for about 6 months. And the other day we had 38 people on our rolls.
Yeah.
And we're small, but we're growing, and we're reaching out with the good news of Jesus Christ.
My recollection is that you're from that neck of the woods. Is that right?
Yes. Yes. Interesting enough is the Lord's brought me back to my hometown. And I was not born here in the Portland area, but for most of my life, this is where I grew up. And it's a wonderful, challenging ministry, and the Lord is doing good things.
Hey, the last time I was there, you were showing me around a little bit and telling me about your life there. And as I'm remembering correctly, you also have a very large family, and they are right there in the ministry and in the mix with you. Is that right? Is that still the case?
You're absolutely right, Chris. Some time ago, I was leading a youth group for teenagers who were non-churched. And I did that for a few years, and after about 3 years, the group sort of graduated. They became young adults, and one of the young ladies went away to college, and while there, she got into a little bit of trouble, and delightful young lady, but came back and got into some more trouble here in the Portland area, and tragically, she died in an accident. And I was asked to do her funeral, and during her funeral, we had, I'd say, about 300, 350 people, and about half of those were young adults. And after the service, a number of them came up to me and asked me where my church was. And I was working as a chaplain at the time. It didn't have a church, and the Lord really used that. It broke my heart, literally, Chris, and through the tragic death of this young woman has come the new life of what we are calling Five Streams Community Church.
And you also have your wife and many of your children and in-law, sons and daughters in life. Am I remembering that right? Are they also in the church?
Yeah, in fact, my adult children were the ones who really came up to me and told me that they wanted my help in starting a church that could reach their generation. And so it was more about them wanting to do it than me. But I was glad to help them, and I'm glad to be their priest, their minister and pastor, and the harvest ministry we're doing.
Folks, you're listening to an interview with John Ahmet. He's a friend of mine, I'm proud to say, also a pastor and church planter in the Portland area. And he's been talking to us a little bit about his life and ministry there on the west side of Portland. John, you said earlier on that you were both an ordained Baptist minister and also now an ordained priest in the Anglican Communion. How in the world does that happen? And tell us a little bit about that journey.
Well, just so your listeners know, is that way back in time, the Baptist movement or the Baptist denomination grew out of the Anglican Church. And so the two have been closely or more closely related than both might want to think. But many years ago, I just felt I had a word from the Lord, that the Lord said that I was going to be a priest. And I told my wife about that, and she thought I was nuts. And it kept simmering on the back burner until last October. The Lord brought it all together, and I'm a priest with the Diocese of St. Patrick and St. Aidan with Bishop Wayne Busada, a wonderful bishop, a wonderful man, and that's part of the Communion of Evangelical Episcopal Churches. It's a worldwide communion of churches and ministers and priests who are on fire for the Lord and looking to enter in the harvest and bring the good news of Jesus to the peoples of the world.
John, my recollection is that you not only have a passion for young people and for that particular part of the world, but you have also said that there are some unique challenges. I'm not going to say obstacles. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but there are some unique challenges to ministering in that part of the world, in Portland in particular, West Portland. Talk to me a little bit about your heart for ministry and what are some of the challenges and difficulties that you have found. Because as far as I'm concerned, looking from the outside in, you have such a wonderful, warm heart and people take right to you. And I'm sure that's an important part of your ministry, but there's some challenges too, yes?
Well, as you know, Chris, the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, is one of the most unchurched, non-churched regions of the United States. Demographers who study this sort of thing call this region a post-Christian region.
Right.
That the culture has moved beyond the Christian era, where the Christian ethos, the Christian churches were major institutions, where the church was a major informer of faith and values. Our region has moved beyond that, and it presents a series of problems that range from anywhere from antagonism all the way to the most destructive, which is just indifference. So most people in the Portland area don't wake up on Sunday mornings and think, we should really attend church today. In fact, I was telling my church last week that Easter, historically in my ministry, because I've ministered to postmoderns, post-Christians for most of my life, that Easter has always been a low-attendance Sunday for us rather than a high-attendance Sunday.
Yeah.
And so even on Easter and Christmas, people, by and large, aren't looking to go to church, and Christianity remains more subcultural than the cultural informer that it once was.
Aren't you of a mind that that will continue to be the case and grow? I mean, it's not isolated to Portland, and it will continue to be the case and grow to be more so as time marches on. Yes, for the whole nation.
Well, I don't think there's any hope for us, Chris, if we're relying on church growth methods, if we're relying on super talented, gifted personality pastors and super churches. The only thing that can literally redeem this generation is another outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That happened like it happened on the West Coast back in the late 60s and early 70s during the Jesus movement.
Yeah.
We need desperately on the West Coast, and especially here in the Pacific Northwest, for God just to open the windows of heaven and send the Holy Spirit's presence down on the people of this region. And without that, it's going to be a difficult time.
I know that you and I both share an interest in ancient future faith, and we're both discovering that the faith of our forebears in the very early years of the church has a special way of communicating with folks in the here and now, especially since our world today looks so much like the world of the first few centuries of the church. Are you finding that to be the case in your neck of the woods?
Yes, and you said it better than I could have said it, is that the church in the Pacific Northwest and in the Portland region is more akin to the church of the first century than it is to the church of the 20th century. And so the faith of the founding church fathers and the apostles, their practices, their way of looking at the world, their way of discipleship needs to be reexamined. And we're finding that blending some of these ancient ways with some of these wonderful new contemporary ways are reaching the hearts of the young people that we're ministering to. One dynamic change from the 20th century to the 21st century has been the way people process truth. For many centuries, the Enlightenment mentality held way where truth was purely a matter of reason, and there was only one truth. Two opposites couldn't be true. But in our postmodern, post-Christian era we're living in here in the 21st century, truth, and especially religious truth, is considered relative. And so people are measuring spiritual and religious truth by, first of all, pragmatics, what works for them. And they're also deciding on religious truth based on, did it work for others in ages past? So something that has been tried and tested throughout the ages is something that is given a serious look by many of these younger people. And also we're finding that some of the more liturgical, sacramental practices, for example, just crossing yourself, making the sign of the cross, are helping to engage these younger people in participatory worship. These young kids, they want to participate in worship. They don't want to watch it. They want to be part of it, and they want to connect with it, not only rationally, but experientially, and that means using their bodies.
Well, I want to talk about some of those specifics. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but I'll give you a second or two here to think about it. I'd love to hear some specifics of some things that you're doing in your worship ministry and also in your teaching, spirituality, etc., that you're finding really connects postmodern worshipers with the worship and practice and the texture of the early church. But first, let me do this. Folks, you're listening to an interview with my buddy, John Ahmet. He is a church planter and pastor, a friend, and he's in the Portland, Oregon area, and today we're talking about ancient future faith. And John has discovered, like many of my buddies, that there are some wonderful truths that we find in the early church that are really finding their way into and refreshing the lives, particularly of younger evangelicals. Why in the world is that the case? Well, one of the things John just said is that they want to participate, and they want a worship experience that is participative and that they can use their whole bodies. John, I said just there before the break that I was hoping you could give us some specifics of ancient future things that you're doing in your church and worship that you're finding that young people especially are attracted to.
Well, this is going to sound very mundane, is that we're not trying to reinvent the wheel. Believe it or not, having these young people read scripture, having these young people serve as sacristans or people who set up the communion table and take it down, responsive prayers that are led by young people. We have one young man who tends to be our prayer leader, and so as a congregation, we pray liturgically. Look for Chris Alford and this wonderful show he hosts. We give thanks to the Lord, and everybody says, thanks be to God. And so just very simple things that don't take technology, that are just inclusive and allow people to be not only connected and participating in worship, but allow people to lead worship no matter whether they have musical ability or not. And it's connecting with them. And of course, Chris, we do use modern praise and worship music, and that's still something that we want to retain, that contemporary sound, sometimes blended with the ancient hymns and harmonies, but we retain that very delightful praise and worship that the Jesus movement discovered and maybe even recovered for us.
You know, one of the things I'm hearing in what you're saying is participation, meaningful inclusion of people in worship. I think sometimes folks forget that liturgy literally means the work of the people, and yet so often that Enlightenment sort of mentality in worship was that it was presentational, and you folks are the audience, and we clergy are the presenters, and it's something that we do for you. And I'm discovering in my own work that folks really do want to participate in worship. And I can imagine that that's very enlivening and invigorating in your service as well. So, for example, one of the places that we have a good bit of participation in our worship at Epiclesis is around the table of the Lord. And particularly after folks have had communion, there are opportunities for healing prayer, praying for others, lifting up prayer concerns. Do you guys do something like that as well at your church?
Yes. Here's the good news, is to reach the next generation. It's not going to take a large investment in machines, smoke machines, lighting machines, electronics, expensive musical and sound equipment. If we want to reach young people, it's going to cost us to invest in their lives and to let them invest in ours. These young people want the community that the ancient church was known for. When the ancients were in public, it was said of them that they loved each other, and it showed they were a community, the body of Christ. And the ancient church teaches us that we need to maybe become a little bit more simple and become more authentic, less pretentious. Young people value these sorts of things, and they want community, and they want to get to know people. And the good news, too, for churches that are wondering how they can reach young people, the great news is that these young people want to be around senior citizens, elders. They want to be mentored. Many of them are orphans, if not real orphans, they're spiritual orphans. And so just investing in the lives of these young people is something we can do, and letting them participate in the worship life of the church is a great way to start reaching them.
John, I know that this approach to ministry changes the way one goes about pastoring. Talk a little bit about your philosophy of pastoral leadership, and how are you pouring yourself into the lives of these folks? Because I know you do. I've seen you at work, and it's wonderful. Just talk to us a little bit about the way you go about pastoring.
Well, I am a seminary-trained pastor, and I came through seminary in the early 90s, and church growth model of pastoring was very, very popular, and of course the church growth model was a marketing-oriented and business-oriented way of looking at the church, and rather than me being critical of it, it just isn't the way that I'm finding that these young people need pastoral care and guidance and discipleship. And in fact, when I became a priest, I prayed quite a bit about what my title should be. Should I be Pastor John on my business card? Should I be the Reverend John? And I just felt the Lord saying, be Father John, because these young people are looking for spiritual fathers and mothers. And so many of the young people are beginning to relate to me as their spiritual father. And when they call me Father John, they see me as a spiritual father to them, and they're my sons and my daughters. And my job is to serve them and love them and build the kingdom of God into their lives through care and by treating them what they are, is that they're priceless.
Folks, I wished you could see Father John in action as I have. He's a wonderful pastor with a very warm-hearted way of going about ministry. And if you're in that neck of the woods, I hope you'll look them up. John, we'll want to make sure that we give everybody the website and all that kind of stuff in just a minute. But in our remaining moments, I was hoping you might just give us a little bit of what your vision is for the church in the forthcoming days and also into the future. Before that, though, let me just remind folks they're listening to an interview called Ancient Future Faith. Faith. My name is Chris Alford. I'm the pastor of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith church in Sacramento, California. You're listening to this program on KFIA all over the Northern California region and also online via several different methods, including iTunes and on our website. My guest today is John Ahmet. He's a friend and a wonderful pastor, church planter in the West Portland area. And just before the break there, I was asking you and was hoping that you might tell us just a little bit about what you're doing right now and vision for the next little bit and then on into the future with your church there.
Well, for the near future, we're really focusing on hospitality. We feel that the Lord has given us five keys to reaching the lost and the hurting and those who are outside the church, and one of those keys is hospitality. And so we're really encouraging people to open up their lives, their homes, their hobbies, and even their resources and sharing those with others. And as Christ fills us, Christ in us, the hope of glory, they'll meet Jesus in us. This summer, we're planning on doing some old-school evangelistic revival meetings, if you can believe that.
Yay.
We're talking with some local churches who might want to partner with us and bringing in some solid evangelists to come in and proclaim the good news in this region. And long-term, we really feel that the Lord is raising our church to be what one would call a resource church for people who want to learn and understand not the ancient future model, but the ancient future ethos. They can come and connect with us, and we can bless them and send them out to plant churches and homes, plant churches and communities, and do the whatever ancient future ministry the Lord is laying on their heart.
John, I want to make sure that people have the name of the church and all the social media links and website and all that kind of stuff so they can look you up. So make sure that we know exactly what the name of the church is, where it is, when it meets, and give us all those important contact information bits, please.
Thanks, Chris. Our church is called Five Streams Community Church, and the website is simple. It's fivestreams.org. And we're not reinventing the wheel. We meet Sundays at 10 a.m. in the school district auditorium at Forest Grove, Oregon. And we're just blessed to be able to do what we do with whom we are doing it.
Well, it's a thing to behold. I don't know that I've ever told you, but you are a model, a pastoral model for me. And I think of you often and appreciate what you're doing there because it's making a difference. And it's inspiring. And if folks are in that neck of the woods, they need to come see you. And I hope that this conversation will spark some interest in some folks who want to come worship with you and see what this thing looks like at Five Streams and what in the world ancient future ethos means, because that's a whole other conversation. Will you come back and let's talk about that again sometime soon?
Would love to do it. And God bless you. And thank you for all your love and your prayers over the years. And may the Lord be with all of you who are listening to Pastor Chris.
Well, thank you so much. My guest has been John Ahmet. Once again, he is a pastor and a friend and a church planter in the western suburbs of Portland, Oregon. And you've been listening to an episode of Ancient Future Faith. Now, listen, folks, I want you to be thinking about this. Surely the road to our evangelical future does run through our ancient Christian past. Until next time, the Lord be with you.
Thank you for joining us for another look at Ancient Future Faith. There is a refreshing wind of renewal blowing through the evangelical church as more and more worshipers turn for inspiration to the rich language and pattern of the ancient church, and they're rediscovering classic Christianity and learning to draw strength from a deep well of time-tested truth and tradition. Want to experience Ancient Future Faith for yourself? Join us for worship at Epiclesis in Sacramento on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. in the chapel at 4600 Winding Way. You can contact us by calling 916-572-9113 or online at epiclesis.org. That's 916-572-9113 or on the web at epiclesis.org.
Hey folks, just a minute before you go. Lent has begun, that historic period in the life of the Christian church when we focus on putting things off and putting things on in preparation for Easter. Let me invite you to make worship at Epiclesis a part of your Lent this year. And by the way, our small groups have just recently launched a study on the spirituality of the Psalms, and there's still time for you to jump in and participate. As always, get more details on the web at epiclesis.org. That's epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you, and see you next time for another edition of Ancient Future Faith.